It's funny how when you're delighted to see how similar you are, isn't that right? We go out for a date. You like that too? I do too. That's your favorite. Oh, that's mine too. The day after the wedding, one is like an early riser and the other is a night owl. One person is daring and impulsive, the other plays by the rules. One is a tightwad and the other loves to spend money. One person is neat and time conscious, the other flexible.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, we're going to see how many people who are married live as if they are single. They've never learned the keys to a fulfilling, victorious marriage. If you could use a little help in this area, or maybe a whole lot of help for that matter, today's message is for you. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Rebuilding Your Marriage.
We find in the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says this, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. What it's saying is, if you're getting married and you're preparing and planning to get married, one of the more important things is not whether the guy is a hunk or that lady's a fox. What is much more important is that, does that lady have faith? Does that man believe in Jesus Christ? And it's not whether or not the guy is a Christian. Is he a growing Christian? Sometimes, you know, we think that as soon as we say, I do, there's some intellect that just zzz, comes into us, and by osmosis, we got it down. We know what marriage is all about. But we're pretty hard-headed, aren't we? Look at the person next to you. You bet. So we all have so much more to learn. But the scripture says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of Donahue. No. If you lack wisdom, let him ask Oprah, Ricky. No. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him dial a psychic. 1-900-LIE-TO-ME. Go ahead and dial that. No, it doesn't say that. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. That's why we are saying we are to rebuild life whose way? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, because God's ways are always the best. And in the years of ministry, I've never been at someone's deathbed and they look up at me before going home to be with the Lord. I have not yet heard one person say, you know, I wish I wouldn't have obeyed God these 30 years. It's been just too tough. None. But I can't tell you how many I've heard say, I wish I would have obeyed God. God's ways are always the best, and you will never, never feel bad or regret doing things God's way. It's so important. If you're a single person this morning, this message is for you. Because much of the problems in marriage occur because of faulty foundations or understandings prior to marriage. And we build these things or deceptions or faulty perceptions into the very foundation of our marriage, so there's already cracks forming at the inception of the wedding. And so if you are a single person, how important it is for you to hear this. You know, the years of counseling marriage couples, I have never found yet one problem marriage. Never. I have found many problem people who get married. See, the problem isn't with marriage. We say, well, that's a problem marriage. No, marriage isn't the problem. Problem people who get married. And they build things in the wrong way. And so this morning, we want to redo a few things and change it. We must build biblical foundations early on. Even now that you're a single person, build biblical foundations into the way you think. Otherwise, you'll get stained by the world's value system. For example, the world says sex outside of marriage is okay. If you love one another, it's okay to have sex. Can I say this right now? Sex is not, or love is not the parameter for sex. Love is not the parameters that allows you to have sex. Marriage is. Because if you say, if we love one another, it's okay to have sex outside of marriage. Let me just draw this circle here. And say, for example, this is marriage. This is before marriage, outside of marriage, after marriage. Now, if we say, if we love one another, it's okay to have sex before marriage. Well, we love one another, so let's go ahead and have sex. Now, you then get married. You have built a wrong foundation and perception into your whole marriage relationship because you taught one another that if you love one another, sex outside of marriage is okay. Well, hey, we're committed to one another now. Yeah, but you said it was okay outside of marriage. Now, you made a promise to be committed to one another, but you didn't know that guaranteed. Now, what happens? Now you get in marriage and then you say, well, we loved each other, so that's why we had sex. Okay, that's fine. Now, say you are now married, and after about 6 years, that guy is really becoming a bore. Say he really becomes abusive, and now you don't love him anymore, and he doesn't love you, but there's a guy at work that really loves you. He treats you really well. And so what happens is this wife starts getting counseling from this guy at work, and he really loves her, and she really feels like she loves him, because this guy down here doesn't love me anymore. So now they have sex. Is that okay? This guy gets all mad, but you know what he's saying? I taught you that it was okay to have sex outside of marriage because you love somebody, me. And so we didn't need the bonds of marriage. We just needed love. What happens when you don't feel like you're loved now? Is it okay to go out and have sex with someone who really does love you? You see, God says the parameters of sex is not love. It's marriage. It's a life of commitment. Don't begin building wrong things into the very foundation of your perception of what marriage is. If you begin building early on biblical convictions into your life, it'll help you. Now you say, Wayne, I didn't do it that way. What do? Repent. And just ask God for forgiveness and begin from this moment on to build biblical convictions into your life. Because God will always take you right where your heart is right now. He won't condemn you from where you were 10 years ago. Where's your heart right now? Is it desirous to serve Jesus? The Lord says, good, come follow me. From this moment on, come follow me. And I'll take you from right where you are right now. So some young people say to me, Wayne, hey, I'm in college. I've got these sex drives. And it just kind of pulls me towards these women. Just pulls me towards these guys. I just can't help myself. What do I do? If God gave me these sexual drives, shouldn't I fulfill them? I mean, God gave them to me. You know, when I was in college, actually in high school, I was also running track and I ran the sprints. I had a great coach. And one of the things he did was he put a vest on me. The vest had a pulley attached to the back of it. And he would just let this rope out slowly as I would run. He could actually train me by holding me back, and my track shoes would be kicking up the cinders, and he would be coaching me as I'm going about 2 miles an hour. I'm running as hard as I can. And he would hold me back and let me go just a little bit, and so I would be running maybe a quarter of the potential that I had. Two reasons. Number one, the coach said, this way you stay closer to me and I can tell you about your posture and your position coming out of the block, staying lower and keeping your head up, pumping with your arm. Secondly, he said, Wayne, I need to develop the twitch muscles in your leg. There are certain different areas and portions of your muscle that need to be developed if you're going to be a good sprinter. And with this pulley system that holds you back so that you're running more slowly, you'll develop much more quickly your twitch muscles in your leg. Now, the neat thing was when he took that pulley off and took that vest off, man, I was a rocket ship coming out of those blocks. Because I had developed something under that hindrance, under that impedance kind of program. It developed something so that when I did go into the race, I did well. I excelled so much more than I would have if I hadn't been impeded like that. In the same way, though God has given you those drives, He's saying to you, there's a season where I'm going to impede you a little bit. And I'm going to build certain muscles called character muscles. If you're a college student, you jump into the rack right away, you know what stops building? Your character. because it's so overwhelmed by emotion that you no longer grow as a young man. You don't build character. The young woman doesn't build character. You know what you need when you get married? Character. Character. Because the sexual drive drops a little bit between one another, and you need to have that character really strong to stay committed. And the reason why many marriages break up is because there's no character built. It's built on the emotion of the moment. And so God is holding you back. Yes, you have sex drives, but let Him put the vest on you for a season. Because what's going to happen is you're going to build certain muscles deep within you that when the real thing happens, you'll excel and you'll do well. Because you are willing to submit to the hand of your coach as he trains you in the things of life. Those things are so important, and you need to build them into the very foundations of your relationships early on. And because when God lets you get married, you ever notice how different you are? I mean, it's like God delighted in putting different things together. My wife and I are so different. It's like God just took joy. It's like a humor point when He says, here's Cordero. He talks a lot and he does dumb things. And let's put him together with this real quiet and shy girl, Howley, too, from Oregon. Wouldn't that be funny? Put them together. I mean, we are so different. It's funny how when you're dating, I mean, you're delighted to see how similar you are. Isn't that right? You think, oh, we are so similar. We go out for a date. You like that too? I do too. That's your favorite? Oh, that's mine too. We are so alike. The day after the wedding, I do something and she looks at me as if she's saying, what spaceship did you just get off of? We are so different. And you need character to be able to handle that because the differences are there. And in every single relationship, there always seems to be these differences. One is like an early riser and the other is a night owl. It's like one person loves to get up in the morning, the other person doesn't even believe in God till noon. One person is daring and impulsive, the other plays by the rules. One loves to talk, the other is silent. One is a tightwad, and the other loves to spend money. One person is neat and time conscious, always on time. The other, flexible. One loves to cuddle. The other is a porcupine. Get it. And in the same arena, one, when it comes to those kinds of things, is a firecracker. The other, a dud. But those things always happen. But we have to learn these things because we don't know about them. And we just have to learn. That's why I appreciate these times. We can learn about them. And men, by the way, you know, you women, you give us too much of the benefit of the doubt. We are pretty dense. We don't understand these things. It's kind of like the guy that sat in the counseling office with his wife, and the counselor was talking to him, and the wife just wouldn't open up, just nothing. And he'd ask her a question, just blank. The counselor couldn't figure this out. So they came back, and 2 days later, 3 days later, just blank. Finally, the counselor could see that there was hardly any affection between the husband and the wife. So he said to the guy, watch this. And he went over to the woman and gave her a big old kiss. And she just brightened up. And he said, now answer this. She just started answering questions and everything. And he turned to the guy, the husband, and said, now, you understand? That's what she needs every day of the week. And the husband said, well, I could bring her here on Tuesday and Wednesday, but Friday is hard. We just need help, folks. We just need help. Here's three building blocks of successful relationships. Number one, reestablish God's priority on marriage. Reestablish God's priority on marriage. Let's read Hebrews 3 and verse 4. You ready? Go. Let marriage be held in honor among all. What do you think God thinks about marriage? He says, let it be held in honor. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. He's saying, husbands, the way you love your wife should depict to the world as a living object lesson of the way I love the church. I am going to give you this baton so that you will become a living object lesson of the way I love people. And he's saying to the men, that's how you should love your wife. So in doing so, when people who don't know the Lord see that, they can see God's love. It's quite an honor. Wives, he says, let the wife see to it that they respect her husband. There is an office of a husband that is placed into your life. Sometime within this box, within this position, within this office of a husband, his performance will go strong and it'll go bad. The performance within that office will vary, but God is saying, respect the office of a husband in your life, regardless of his performance from season to season, because that'll vary. But keep your respect high. You know why? Because respect is like the soil in which love grows. When you respect someone, it's easy to love that person. But when you lose respect for that person, it is tougher than nails to love that person. And so God is saying, keep your respect high. Well, he doesn't deserve it. I didn't ask if he deserved it. Respect the fact that I have placed an office of a husband in your life. You respect that because it's not an issue of his performance. It's an issue of your faith and obedience to what I've asked you to do. It's an issue of faith. And when that husband sees that, then that person will begin to perform a little better. But keep that priority on marriage. No amount of success in the marketplace will ever make up for failure at home. It doesn't matter if you have 50 corporations going. If you lose your family, you've lost the game. Keep the priority high on marriage. A lot of us are efficient but not effective. You see, there's a difference between being efficient and effective. Efficient means doing things right. Effective means doing the right things with your life. See, a lot of businessmen and businesswomen are efficient. You check them out at their corporation or their office. They are so efficient. They know how to use these telecommunications devices, the fax, the cellular phones, the email. They've got it all down. They're very efficient. But are they effective? Because the major things in life are dropping. And God is calling us to be effective people, not efficient people. I shared a little story some time ago. It was so illustrated to me by a guy coming to the doctor, running in. It was so efficient. The doctor is so efficient. He said, doctor, doctor, I need something for hiccups. The doctor said, you want the best thing for hiccups? Yeah, the best thing, the very best thing, the very best thing. The doctor just hauled off and hit him as hard as he could in the stomach. Oof. And the guy, oh, what'd you do that for? The doctor said, you wanted the best thing for hiccups? Yeah. Do you have hiccups anymore? No, but my wife in the car still does. See, the doctor was efficient, but he was not effective. And sometimes we're like that. We're very efficient in our businesses, but ineffective in life. And God is saying, reestablish. If you're married, here are your top three priorities. Would you write this down somewhere? Number one, God. Number two, spouse. And number three, family. Number one, God. That's your highest priority. Because you can have a great family and a great business, etc., but if you don't have a relationship with God, the Bible says, what profits a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his soul? We've missed it. God is your highest priority. I tell my wife, honey, you're not the first love of my life. I love God first. And she's happy with that because she knows that if God is my greatest love, she will be loved and cared for. But when God is no longer my love, she's in trouble. God is your first priority. Second priority, spouse. No, not children, not job, spouse. Your spouse, if you're a single person, learn this now. Your second priority in life will be your spouse. He or she is more important than anything else besides your relationship with God. So what about kids? I got to take care of my kids. Yeah, you can have your kids and lose your spouse. Then you're struggling. I was raised in a divorced home. It wasn't easy. Your spouse is the second. And then if you love your spouse, your third will be your family. Mom and dad, the best thing you can do for your kids is love each other. The best thing you can do for your kids, Dad, is to love your wife. Best thing you can do, Mom, for your children, is to love your husband. And when they see that, there will be such a confidence that'll come into their lives. I let my kids know how much I love their mom. And I let them know it all the time, through everything that I do. And it gives my kids a confidence. And once you begin to establish those priorities again, then you'll be able to cooperate with God's design for your marriage. You see, what happens is, I tend to compromise the things I deprioritize. If I deprioritize honesty, it's easy for me to pilfer, because honesty isn't that big of a deal. But if I prioritize honesty, then I can't compromise it. To compromise honesty, I have to deprioritize that. If I deprioritize obedience to God's word, if I just deprioritize that, then I can justify an affair. I can justify cutting corners here or there. And the only way I can justify myself doing that is deprioritizing the things of God. What is God saying? If we're going to be a people after His own heart, we must reprioritize the things of God and reprioritize marriage. Now, some people say, well, Wayne, what about divorce? Although there are tragic incidences, and all of any one of you that have gone through divorce, you know it's not easy, and it's a tough thing, and you have to live with. But right where you are right now, can I say this? Don't even make divorce an option. It's a non-option. I don't even joke about it with my wife. You know how sometimes people joke and say, you should have married so-and-so? I don't even joke about it. It's not a joking matter. It is something that is set in concrete. We don't even joke about it. You know, some people say, yeah, I will never get a divorce because God hates divorce. That's why I'd love to get a divorce, but I won't. So shut up. Quit bugging me about it. You know what's about as bad as divorce is? Staying married but hating every moment of it. And causing a living hell for your spouse. So you choose to live together as divorced individuals is what you're doing, because you've already divorced each other in your heart. I call them married singles. They're married, but they're single. God is saying, no, no, that's not my heart. My heart is this, that not that you're married, but that you are victoriously married. And do whatever you need to be a people who will glorify God in your relationship. Reprioritize marriage, and then you'll be able to cooperate with him. Because what will happen is a counselor will give you advice, and if you've prioritized marriage, you'll take it, because marriage is priority. If you prioritize marriage and God speaks to you about something, you're going to change. Why? Because marriage is priority. You've reestablished that priority that has since faded. And you'll not sabotage the things of God, because if you deprioritize marriage and God speaks to you about something, you'll say, well, I don't have to do that. Well, yeah. And we deprioritize that. Prioritize it again. Otherwise, we'll be like the lady that went to the doctor, and she and her husband went to the doctor, and the husband was so listless, he just kind of walked in like this, sat down. She said, doctor, what's wrong with my husband? The doctor said, I don't know. It must be Portuguese. No, she said, not. I said, oh, let me see. And he checked the husband out. And he said, oh, your husband is in dire straits. He's about ready to die. She said, nah. Yeah, and he checked him out. He said, I need to talk to your wife alone. Would you go to the car? So he just listlessly just walked to the car. He sat the wife down. He said, you know what? Your husband has only about a month to live. She said, no. He said, yep, but you can extend his life. How? Said, by caring for him? No, he stink when he come home. No, you gotta just massage him? No way. Yeah, and treat him real nice when he comes home. Give him slippers for his feet. Give him juice. Put him in the easy chair. No. Yeah, you gotta do that every night. If you do that, he'll come alive again. No. Yes. And then you have to just be affectionate. Whenever he wants to be affectionate with you, you just have to be affectionate. Really? Yeah, then he'll live. Well, she thanked the doctor and went out to the car. She quietly just scooted into the seat. The husband said, "What did the doctor say?" She looked at him and said, "He said you're gonna die."
You've just heard a message entitled Rebuilding Your Marriage by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.